A'udhu billahi samiul alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. Our esteemed listeners and the entire Muslim Ummah, today being Monday, the 18th day of Ramadan, 1441 after the Hijrah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 11th of May 2020, in continuation of the Tafsir, the commentary of the Holy Quran by Sheikh Kidir Abdullahi Maraya and his reciter Malam Sani Musa Malami. We are still in the translation of the chapter, the Surah Al-Baqarah. Akramakum Allah, Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa zidtati ka mujri qawmihi fa kullaka rabbi ataka al-hajar. Fam fajarat minhu sinata asharata ayna. Qad alima kullu unasin mashrabahum. Kulu wa sharabu min rizqillah. Wa la ta'thaw fi al-ardi mufsidin.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Our brothers and sisters, once again we are here by the grace of the Almighty Allah to continue with the Quranic interpretation in the English language, which comes to you on the Barakat Family FM station, courtesy of its Chief Executive Officer, the Ordinary Malam Ahmad Isa, the Ordinary President Malam Ahmad Isa, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May the Almighty Allah enrich him with the fine paradise on the Day of Judgment. Today we are going to continue with the enumeration of the blessings of Allah which He bestowed on the children of Israel. Wa zistasqa Musa liqawmihi faqulna drib bi'asaka al-hajar. فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا قد علم كل أناس مشربهم كلوا واشربوا من رزق الله ولا تأسوا في الأرض مفسدين. وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه نعم
وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه
الله سبحانه وتعالى says وإذ استسقى موسى لقومه O children of Israel, remember when Musa asked for water for his people. This happened also during their wilderness. There was no water for them to drink. There was no water for them to do other domestic affairs. Although they were in the desert experiencing their 40-year wilderness. وَسْكَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ when they lacked the drinking water, they went to the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, and demanded him to seek Allah's help on their behalf, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could enrich them with drinking water. And immediately the Prophet of Allah Musa heard of their complaint. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich his people with the drinking water. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, وَذِسَسْكَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ. Consequently, we said to the messenger of Allah Musa, peace be upon him, strike the stone with your stick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed his messenger to strike a stone that was with him, with his staff. That is his stick. He was always going around with a prophetic stick. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to answer the prayer of the children of Israel in relation to enriching them with the drinking water, he asked the messenger of Allah to strike the stone which was with him, with his staff. That is the stick that was always with him. Now, فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشَرَةَ عَيْنًا. Immediately he struck the stone, the 12 springs of water gushed out from it. Immediately the messenger of Allah struck the stone, 12 springs gushed out of the stone. Because the clans of the children of Israel were 12 at that material time, and they still remain 12 contemporarily. So that each clan could have their own drinking fountain. That was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for the stone to gush out water via the 12 springs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on it immediately. Now, قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ. Each clan knew its own drinking place. Each of the 12 clans of the children of Israel during that wilderness knew where it was supposed to drink. For instance, clan A, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designated a special portion for them, a special spring for them, that was exclusively meant for them. Clan B equally enjoyed the same favor. In the same vein, clan C, D, inter alia, up to the 12 clans of the children of Israel, each one, so that they could not compete for water. Each clan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided its drinking fountain for it. أَدَعْلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُّ وَشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْكِ اللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them again, كُلُوا it, وَشْرَبُوا and drink, مِنْ رِزْكِ اللَّهِ, from the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Earlier, we heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them during the said wilderness the manna and quails. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says that they should eat the manna and quails and also drink this water that was gushing out of the stone that was struck by Musa upon him. Kulu washrabu miris illah. Allah says, miris illah, from the sustenance of Allah, from the provision which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for you, because they did not make any effort to get it. They didn't purchase it, nor accept it from any other quarter as a gift. It was a divine gift. It was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on them. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kulu min rizqillah. Naam. Wala ta'asaw. But do not commit any evil on this earth. Do not commit any evil, no mischief on this planet. The only condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them was that they should not transgress in whatever form they could think of. They should adhere strictly to the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should not commit any sin, no mischief on earth, in whatever form. That was the only condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, despite the fact that He enriched them with unquantifiable amount of favor. وَلَا تَعْصُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. If one critically studies the verse which has just been interpreted, they could deduce many lessons and many things that one should inculcate in themselves. One, this seeking of water by the children of Israel took place, as I mentioned during the interpretation of the verse, during the famous wilderness which the children of Israel experienced. It was a 40-year wilderness. So their water got finished. They didn't have water resultantly to drink. They didn't have water to wash their face, to wash their hands, or to do whatever they wanted to do with water. They had no water. So they went to the Messenger of Allah and implored him earnestly to seek Allah's help with a view to getting water from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their prayer. The stone that was struck by the Messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, was a square stone. It was very flaccid, very soft. It was always together with him. So immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to strike the stone. He did so. Instantly, 12 springs gushed out of the stone, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here. So there wasn't any competition. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that the water was very sufficient for them. Each clan had their own drinking fountain. We could deduce from this that it is very important for all groups of people to have their own source of water. That means, in other words, sources of water should be very, very available in a way that no one could lack a very safe drinking water. And if one studies the verse critically, they would understand that the children of Israel, when they lacked the water, they didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intervene directly. They didn't ask Allah direct to supply them with water. They went to their messenger, Musa, peace be upon him. Unlike our own generation, whatever one of us wants, they could ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct. This implies that the generation, the ummah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the best of all generations. No ummah, no Islamic community prior to the advent of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, could ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala direct to enrich them with what they were lacking. They had to go through their messenger. Unlike us, this is one of the favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on the community of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him. And gushing out of water from a struck stone implies one of the miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on his messenger Musa, peace be upon him. Because now you cannot pick a stone just now and hit it with anything, and consequent upon the heating, water will gush out of it. You can't do that. This implies that it was one of the miracles of Musa, peace be upon him. And it happened, or I can even say something better than this, happened to the greatest messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. When some of the companions, they were about 1,400 people, demanded for water, the messenger of Allah provided them with water by the grace of the Almighty Allah through his fingers. His fingers began to gush out water. Water that sufficed at that material time about 1,400 people. This miracle of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, cannot be equated with the miracle of Musa, peace be upon him, in relation to the supply of water. Because usually water gushes out from rocks, mountains, inter alia. But there was never a time prior to the advent of Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we heard that a messenger of Allah or a prophet of Allah at any time supplied his community with water that gushed out from his fingers. It happened only during the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him. So this clearly underscores the supremacy of the messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, over the rest of the messengers of Allah, peace be upon them. And also, the verse highlights the importance of safe drinking water. The verse underscores the importance of safe drinking water. That is why the United Nations has earmarked every March 22nd to be observed as the World Water Day. That day that has been earmarked by the United Nations underscores the importance of water to humankind. Despite their efforts to ensure that all and sundry have safe drinking water, there is still a global crisis as far as water supply is concerned. Because presently, out of the 7 billion people who are currently inhabiting the world, there are about 844 million people who presently lack access to clean water globally. They don't have any access to safe drinking water. Locally, here in Nigeria, we have about 69 million Nigerians who lack access to safe drinking water. So this underscores the importance of water to humankind, and it also indirectly enjoins the relevant authorities to ensure that the land are provided with safe drinking water. Many people have to cover long distances before they can get safe drinking water. By so doing, many children have been denied education because they waste a lot of time carrying water for their parents. So this is very, very important for the authorities to note it. And also presently that the world is being bedeviled by the COVID-19 pandemic. The medical experts always enjoy us to be washing our hands intermittently. According to them, we shall be washing our hands every 20 minutes. every 20 minutes. And while washing the hands, we have to make sure that we spend about 30 seconds, half a minute, washing the hands under running water. But in many communities, there is no water. So this is also another factor that could lead the authority to ensure the supply of drinking water to the citizenry. Now.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَدَعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا أَلَا تَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما أتوا وكانوا يعتدون
وإذ قلتم يا موسى لن نصبر على طعام واحد فدع لنا ربك يخرج لنا مما تنبت الأرض من بقلها وكثائها وفومها وعدسها وبصلها قال تستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. Allah continues with his very eminent enumeration of his favors which he bestowed on the children of Israel. He says, wa idh qultum ya Musa. Naam.
Wa idh qultum ya Musa lan nasbira ala ta'amin wahid.
Naam. And remember when we said, oh Musa, and remember when you said, I beg your pardon, and remember when you, the children of Israel, said, ya Musa, oh Musa, lan nasbira ala ta'amin wahidin. We cannot endure on one kind of food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned earlier, had enriched them with the manna and quails. They were always eating them with a view to quench hunger. One day they went to the messenger of Allah, Musa, and said to him, that, oh Musa, we are tired of one kind of food. Why should we be taking always the manna and quails? Implore your Lord to supply us with another food. We are tired of this. Always manna, manna, manna. Always manna and quails. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what transpired during that episode. This also happened during the 40-year wilderness which the children of Israel experienced during the time of Musa, peace be upon him, and his eminent brother Harun, peace be upon him. Udu lana rabbaka. Naam.
Fada'u lana rabbaka yukhrij lana mimma tunbitul ardu.
Fada'u lana rabbaka yukhrij lana mimma tunbitul ardu. Therefore, beseech your Lord for us to produce for us what the earth grows. The manna and quails were being sent down on them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, they wanted to be getting sustenance from farming, from what the earth was growing at that material time. This is very astonishing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was enriching them with food without they being doing anything. They were not toiling, they were not doing anything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was just supplying the manna and quails for them to use as sustenance. All of a sudden, they went to the messenger of Allah and complained to him that they were tired of only one type of food. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, telling us what transpired during that episode. فَدَوْ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُكُرِجْ لَنَا مِنْ مَا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقَلِهَا
وَكِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا
مِنْ بَقَلِهَا, from what the earth grows of its pot herb. مِنْ بَقَلِهَا, بَقَل here means pot herb. وَكِثَّائِهَا, and also of its cucumbers. Isa here means cucumbers. Mimbakaliha wa isaiha wa fumiha, and also of its garlic or wheat. Mimbakaliha wa isaiha wa fumiha, wa fumiha its garlic or wheat. Wa'adasiha, and of its lentils. Wa'basaliha, and its onions. So the aforementioned were what they enumerated, telling the messenger of Allah to Musa to tell his Lord that they wanted pot herb, cucumbers, garlic or wheat, lentils and onions in lieu of the manna and quails.
قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير.
قال, the messenger of Allah responded to them by saying, أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير. Will you exchange the better for the lower? The manna and quails were being sent down on you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any contribution from your own quarters. You were not laboring for it. You were getting it without subjecting yourselves to labor of any kind. How could you compare what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you direct from Him with what you would be cultivating? In other words, with what you will be getting through farming. How could you compare such? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supplies you with is better than what you will be getting from what the earth grows, from farming, from agricultural activities. And they were getting the manna and quails on a daily basis. But they didn't know that in relation to what the earth grew at that material time, they could not get it on a daily basis. They had to stay for a long period of time. They had to cultivate. They had to plow. And they had to wait for the germination of what they had planted. And subsequently, they had to harvest it. And after the harvest, they had also to embark upon numerous processes before what they grew translated into food. But the manna and quails were being supplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their own use on a daily basis. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supplies could not be compared with what one can get from their own processes. أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير
إهبطوا مصرا.
نعم إهبطوا مصرا
فإن لكم ما سألتم.
Okay, إهبطوا مصرا, go down to any town, مصرا, any town. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them at that material time that they could go down to any town of their choice. إِبْتُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ, and you shall find what you want in the town you have chosen to reside therein. The messenger of Allah, Musa, was the one who was passing on the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the children of Israel here. Naam.
وَدُرِبَتْ
عَلَيْهِمُ الزِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. And they were covered with humiliation and misery because they violated Allah's injunction and they displayed a high degree of ingratitude. That was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered them with humiliation and misery. Naam.
وَبَاءُوا
بِغَدَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And they also drew the wrath of Allah on themselves. They attracted the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to themselves. Naam.
ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ.
They had the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them due to what? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides an answer to the question which I have asked. They drew the wrath of Allah on themselves because they were rejecting the signs of Allah. They were rejecting the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were rejecting what really affirmed the oneness and also the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they were getting manna and quails from the sky. It was coming down on them from the sky due to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That coming down of the manna and quails on them really indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in existence. It equally indicated at that time that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was one. So instead of them to accept the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by totally submitting themselves to Him, they rejected His signs. They didn't want what He was supplying to them. They demanded that they should be given sustenance from what the earth was growing at that time. Naam. And وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they were killing the prophets of Allah without just cause. The children of Israel killed many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the absence of any just cause, in the absence of any justifiable reason. The only reason was that the prophets of Allah were inviting them to accept the divine guidance. They rejected the guidance and they didn't limit themselves to the rejection. They went further to assassinate many messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that was because they disobeyed Allah and transgressed the bounds. That was why all the aforementioned happened to them. The verse contains a lot of lessons. One, it teaches us that displaying any act of ingratitude is a transgression. Because the children of Israel at that time did not display any degree of gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bestowing on them His favor in relation to the supply of the manna and quails. They displayed their ingratitude by demanding the messenger of Allah, Musa, to implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be giving them sustenance from what the earth was growing at that time. The verse also teaches us that rejecting Allah's signs is an act of mischief. It is also an act of transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that the entire signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be accepted by one before they could be accepted as one of the believers. You have to accept the entire signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the verse teaches us that going contrary to the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the recalcitrant servant. If you don't want to draw to yourselves the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then generally you have to live your lives in accordance with the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse also tells us that the children of Israel really transgressed, really disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that they killed some of his prophets, peace be upon them. They rejected what the messengers invited them to do, and they went further to assassinate them, the children of Israel. This really implies that the assassination of the messengers of Allah, which they carried out at that material time, was what really drew to them the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What lesson could you deduce from that act of theirs? The lesson is that since contemporarily we don't have any messenger of Allah in our midst, we don't have any prophet of Allah in our midst, but we have what? We have their successors, we have their heirs, the jurists, the Islamic jurists, as far as Islam is concerned. So if an Islamic jurist invites you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have decided for a reason best known to you that you are not going to act in accordance with what the jurist tells you to do, then you have the right to do so. But remember, you will face the punishment of Allah in the next life. And secondly, if you have decided not to do what the jurist has invited you to do in order to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to display a high degree of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do not kill the jurist. Because killing someone who invites people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very grave disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also it's a very severe transgression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us at all times to accept His guidance. Naam, continue.
Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hadu wal nasari wa sabina man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا
خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Now, also prior to the interpretation of the verse which has just been recited, I would also like to mention one thing in relation to the lessons which one could deduce from the just interpreted verse. Is that whenever someone decides not to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wittingly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could impose on them misery and humiliation. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. We have to make sure that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He says we should do it according to our capacities. Whatever He says we should not do, we should make concerted efforts to abstain from it absolutely. Doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden attracts Allah's wrath to the offender. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. Also, one failure to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins them to do also attracts Allah's wrath to the failed servant. Therefore, we have to be very, very careful. We have to obey Allah's instructions according to our capacities. إن الذين آمنوا والذين هادوا والنصارى والصابئين من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجر عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says here, إن الذين آمنوا, verily those who believe in all the articles of faith, those who believe in the existence and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also go further to believe in all His messengers, 313 messengers of Allah. After believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also believe in the 313 messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe also in the existence of angels. They go further also to believe in the existence of Allah's scriptures, 104, including the Holy Quran. They also believe in destiny, whether good or bad. They believe that it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also believe in the last day, the day of reckoning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a message for the aforementioned here. Inna allazina amanu
wallazina hadu,
and those who are Jews, those who practice Judaism. Naam.
Wan nasara,
and those who are Christians.
Wasabina,
and the Sabians who at that time were worshipping angels. The Sabians ab initio were part and parcel of those who were practicing Judaism. But subsequently, they formed their own faction of Judaism. They conceptualized the worship of angels. So instead of them at that material time to continue with Judaism, they discarded it for worshipping angels. So they are called today as Sabians. Now,
Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir,
he whoever amongst them believes in Allah and the last day, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir,
wa amila salihan,
and they conduct good deeds. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies that the believers, the Jews, Christians and Sabians who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and other articles of faith, and they went further also to be conducting good deeds. Now, فَلَهُمُ أَجَرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they shall have their reward with their lot. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them accordingly. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. According to some Quranic exegetes, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the hypocrites who on the basis of their proclamation, they proclaimed belief, but conversely concealed disbelief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, referring to them, that if they repent, if they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, also the Jews, if they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in repentance, also the Christians, also the Sabians, and after they have established their belief, they have decided also to go further to be conducting good actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment shall reward them accordingly. So the verse implies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not close the gate of repentance. No matter your offense, no matter your disbelief, if you have decided to eventually accept the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, He shall reward you accordingly. Now, and there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. During their deaths, when they are on the verge of leaving the world, when they are on the verge of passing on, there shall be no fear on them. When they have been engraved, there shall be no fear on them again in the grave. Then on the day of judgment, there shall be no fear on them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually provide for them the paradise as their place of inhabitation. Then in relation to grief, whatever they might have committed in the past, there shall be no grief on them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall forgive them on the basis of His wishes and wills. What do we have as lessons that could be deduced from the just interpreted Quranic verse? Prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse has mentioned the three Abrahamic religions of Islam, Christianity and Judaism. The aforementioned three religions are called the Abrahamic religions. The present population of the aforementioned religions is as follows. Christianity presently is the leading religion in the world in terms of population, because there are about 2,300,000,000 people who currently practice Christianity in the world. 2.3 billion. After that comes the religion of Islam. Islam presently in the world is being practiced by 1.9 billion people. 1,900,000,000 Muslims are currently inhabiting the world. The religion of Islam, I'm reiterating, is contemporarily being practiced by about 1,900,000,000 people. So Islam has about 1.9 billion people as its adherents in the contemporary world. Then Judaism. Judaism is not the third religion that is being practiced in the world today, but being one of the three Abrahamic religions, that is why I have decided to make mention of its population. Judaism is currently being practiced only by 14 million people. 14 million. But in spite of that, they control the global power and economy. 14 million. Leading the Muslims, who are 1.9 billion, and also the Christians who are 2.3 billion. Only 14 million people are leading such a very humongous group of Christians and Muslims. The Jews, I'm reiterating, just about 14 million. That means there are only about 14 million people on earth today who practice Judaism. Only 14 million. But in spite of that, they have control over the global economy and power. They equally have total control on science and technology. In terms of knowledge, they are ahead. In terms of economy, they are ahead. In terms of power, they are ahead. Why? One of the factors that has really made them to assume such a very famous position contemporarily is their spirit of unity. They are very united and they love themselves. They love themselves. Additionally, they are very united. Whatever happens to one of them in country A, they take it as something that also affects them. If something happens to anybody who practices Judaism, for instance, in America, just one person, then the entire people who practice Judaism in Israel will consider that thing that happens to one of them in America as it has also happened to them. It has also affected them. Unlike the majority of the Muslims, unlike the majority of the Christians and the Muslims have the highest population in the world. But let me talk for the Muslims because I'm one of them. One of the problems we are facing globally today is lack of unity. That is why, despite our number, we have been led by those whose population is just 14 million. Look at even the Muslims from Kaduna and Kano State are more than the entire people in the world who practice Judaism. Yes. Muslims of Kaduna State extraction and also Muslims of Kano State extraction, put them together, they are more than the number of people who practice Judaism in the world. Muslims from Jigawa and Kano, their number in terms of population is greater than the number of those who practice Judaism in the world. We are not progressing. One of the factors is that we lack unity amongst ourselves. And we don't love ourselves as instructed by the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him. That is why currently we, the adherents of the religion, are experiencing humiliation and misery, not the religion. The religion is not experiencing any humiliation, nor misery. We have really proclaimed to the adherents of the Islamic faith, but virtually all our actions and sayings are not in tandem with the teachings, tenets, and injunctions of the religion. We lie, we break promises and covenants, we fight each other, we display a high degree of envy against each other. Summarily, we don't love ourselves. That is why, despite our numerical strength, today we experience a lot of humiliation across the globe. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow, inshallah, we shall continue from where we are going to stop now due to time constraint. I hope you do not forget, our esteemed listeners, that these Quranic exegesis comes to you on the Barakatuh Family FM radio station, courtesy of its chief executive officer, the ordinary Malam Ahmad Isa, the ordinary president, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May his soul continue to rest in absolute peace. With regards to the sponsor, may everything that he owns be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Wa alihi tayyibin al-tahirin. Wa sahabihi jami'an haqqa qadrihi wa miqdarihi al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamu ala al-mursaleen. Wa alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.